Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
All right, go to Genesis 35. In fact, go to 28 and verse 1. I'm going a different way. So let me contextualize this for you. This day's story is about a man named Jacob. And I'm going to contextualize how bad his life was to him. Now, his life may not be that bad when you hear it. You have to relate to your own bad times or bad spots. But Jacob had some bad times. But I want to start by reading something, 35 and 13. Then God went up from him in a place where he had spoken with him, and Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he had spoken to him, and a pillar of stone. He poured out drink offering on it and poured oil on it. So Jacob called the name of the place where God had spoken with him Bethel. So here's the first thing you've got to understand is that everybody needs, here's the title of this message, Bethel, House of God, My Home. Bethel, House of God, but My Home. See, how do you know where Bethel is? Let's get beyond a geographical location and let's get a revelation of how you have a Bethel moment. Bethel, whenever God dealt with Bethel, whether it was Abraham, or Jacob, it was all centered around him having a moment where heaven's agenda invaded earth. They got a word from God, and Bethel simply means house of God. Beth-el, house of God. Jacob, toward the middle of his life, is being called back to Bethel. So what happened before? What happened once he was there before? What happened in the middle? And what's happening that God is calling him back to Bethel, house of God? And what makes it Bethel is you're getting a what? Huh? A word. So every time, not just this place, but if something is going to be authentically from God, it has to give the words of God, the plan of God, the direction of God. You cannot just say it likes God, or it wants to be God-like, or it has to have the marks of something prophetic. I mean, it doesn't come from man, it comes from God himself. Jacob was a guy from the moment that he was born, was in a fight with his brother Esau in the womb. The Bible said they came out in the womb and Esau came out first, but Jacob had his heel. Jacob was fighting to the degree that he almost came out simultaneously, but the part of him that would have made him first didn't happen. And the mother came to the Lord and said, what was the turbulence going on in her stomach? He said, well, it's two nations at war. It's two nations, two natures. It's like the flesh and the spirit. It's like the promise and the child without the promise. It's something going on to prevent one thing from happening, but yet acknowledging that something is significant. There's a battle going on from the very moment that Jacob is in his mother's womb. And all throughout his life, Esau, the firstborn, when he came out, his name, it meant not only red, but it meant perfect. He is the hunter of the family. He's the outdoorsman. He's a man's man. He's that guy that you look at on the poster, and you know, he's doing that, you know, Hussein Bolt pose. He looks the part. He can shoot the bow and arrow. He's got the walk. He's got the smell of the outdoors. He's what a father just looks at and say, it's my firstborn son. He's James Jr. The boy's got greatness on him. Look at him. Look just like me. Don't he? I'm sorry. And it estranged Jacob from some relations with his father that would be more intimate, but it made him go toward his mother. He hung with his mother. And his mother expressed to him the revelation that his older brother is supposed to serve him, that she had information from God that would put him on the top. And though he grew up in a house where he was a secondary person, his mom was always telling him, you're supposed to be primary. Esau, on the other hand, had no cares in the world. He was the guy in the house that just could do what he wanted, when he wanted, how he wanted, and it didn't seem like there was very much his parents said. In fact, we know they didn't say much because they didn't like who he married, but he didn't find that out till he got later on in a conversation, and his dad was expressing disappointment for his life, but he didn't really know. Esau was that guy who just gets away with murder. You ever had one of them siblings? Your mom just let them get away with it, didn't let you. No, my mom, she ain't let me do nothing. He said, you're going to be right, boy. Okay, so he told us one day Esau comes in from hunting. The Bible says he's famished, and he says this, I'm so hungry, I'm going to die. Have you ever been there? You ever been there? Raise your hand. Have you ever been so hungry you're going to die? No, you wasn't going to die. Esau wasn't going to die. But he talked like and act like he was going to die. Jacob said, tell you what, I'll give you a bowl of soup if you give me the right, your birthright of first position. The birthright simply represents, as the firstborn son, you get the double portion. You get the leadership when the father dies. And whatever blessing has been handed down, maybe like from your granddaddy Abraham, that was on me, Isaac, I get to give that same blessing and that word to you, Esau. But Esau, if you want to give that up, I'll buy it from you for a bowl of soup. And the Bible says he despised his birthright. In other words, he didn't like the plan God had for his life, seemingly by allowing him to be firstborn. He despised it. God eventually called him immoral. He sold it. What has God called you to do or called you to be that you despise, that you hate, that you reject, that you keep on selling for something that's more convenient or conducive to your personality or what you want to do? How many things have you sacrificed just because you didn't want all that God had for you? Well, God doesn't like it. It doesn't matter, beloved, if you like who you've called to be. The scripture clearly says that in Jeremiah 1, that I ordained you and anointed you, Jeremiah, to be a prophet before you were in your mother's womb. That means I knew you, I knew how I designed you. Then the Psalm 133 says he instructs you about his plan for you while you're in the womb. He begins to tool your DNA. He weaves you together and gives you the natural skills to go along with your spiritual call, that you should come out of your mother's womb ready to fulfill the will of God. And if you look at other things and other people's position and you begin to get jealous or envious or want something someone else has, you despise that which you have and you'll sell it off and you'll sell yourself short and you'll anger the purpose or frustrate the purposes of God in your life because you thought it was too hard. You thought it was too much to reach for. You thought it was a little bit too. And so Jacob does this. His father blesses him. He deceives his father and dresses up like he's Esau and takes the blessing that he purchased from Esau, but he tricks his dad to get it. Living up to his name, Jacob, trickster, sub-planner. Jacob. You know, Jacob's another name for Jane. My son kept asking me, what does my name mean? I said, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Then he finally looked it up. He said, I don't think that's good. I said, you know, well, It's what it is. Just be James, the brother of Jesus. Just claim that. The bad place is articulated. His brother Esau finds out he steals the blessing. And what he does is he tells his dad or his mom, "I'm so angry that Jacob tricked me or deceived me. That my first opportunity when my dad dies, I'm going to kill Jacob." You know, I'm going to tell you, them in-house rivalries, they tough. First murder was brother and brother. Don't take it so lightly. You know, the more familiar you get with a person, the more right you feel you are, the more you feel justified in evil behavior. Who told you just because a person was close to you that you had the rights to just, you know, presume upon that relationship and treat them less than godly? They're your sibling. You don't get to treat them bad. But the Bible says that Jacob ran from the house. He was running toward his uncle's house to get a wife. So at 57 years old, and some commentaries say he was 77 years old, never been away from home. He didn't leave with a lot of resources or people. And here's what it says, Genesis 28, verse 10. Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he came to a certain place and stayed there the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it up under his head and lay down in the place to sleep. You know that Jacob is going through a hard time because instead of him actually having a tent and putting it up and, you know, laying everything out, he lays under the stars, weary from running, away from his home for the first time, and he makes a rock his pillow. How do you know that Jacob was a little bit sad and depressed? Because a rock is his pillow. I have several pillows. I have a friend that's in this room who sleeps with 10 pillows. It's something about comfort at night that we need to go to sleep. He got none of it. His situation was bad. What is your situation? Have you ever been? My mom is sitting here. We've been in this family in perilous situations, in challenging situations, where it seems like the question is, where is God? But I'm telling you that when the Bible says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, then the Lord, doesn't matter how bad your place is, no matter what got disrupted, he had a house and he has now no house. He doesn't even have a house he can make a home. He's making his home with a rock. He is at a low point. Have you been at that low point? Are you at that low point? Is things in your life bad? It failed to meet your expectation. It failed to meet God's expectation, everybody else's expectation. The people who were happy with you are sad with you. The people that you love, you are estranged from. You didn't get the job you want. You didn't get the promotion you want. You don't know which direction is up. You don't know which way you're going. And everything that should be right is not right. You're not in a good place. You're in a bad place and wondering when somebody's going to show up and tell you, "What's going on? Because I'm confused." I know statistically more of the world lives in confusion than they do in clarity. Confused. Even though God has made us with a purpose, made us with a plan, we spend a lion's share of our life in ambiguity and lack of clarity. And this is where God begins to make the transition for you. He does it. You don't do it. So if you're in that place, I got the best news for you. You can't fix it, but God can show up and give you a revelation of how it can get fixed. And here's how he turns that bad place to a good place. Verse 12. I'm going to switch to this.
Yes. Hallelujah. Ooh. And he dreamed, and behold, there was a ladder set up on earth, and the top reached to heaven. And behold, an angel of God were ascending and descending on it. So here it is, when he's in his bad place, he gets a revelation of what a good place, which is heaven. He gets a revelation that there's something on earth that connects with what's on heaven. And there's something, angels, which we know are ministering spirits sent from God. They are messengers. There's also coming up and down. That means angel is messenger. He's always trying to get you a message. God is always trying to get you a message. God is always, at all times, using all means to get you a message. This is what makes it a good place. This is what makes it Bethel. It's when a word begins to come, when you begin to recognize this is a portal of heaven. This is a place of heaven. This is where the exchange happens. This is all faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. In other words, it's God giving you a word that you can respond to, that helps you make a transaction from the unseen world into the seen world. The angels bring these words. They bring these messages so that you can do this. He's getting a revelation. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, the father and God of Isaac. The land which you lie, I'll give you and to your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to the land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I promised. This is how you know God is doing a good work. It's because you get a good word. He doesn't have these negative words to give to you. Doesn't have all this, oh, you know, this is the year of calamity. This is the year of going down. This is the year your spouse is going to leave you. This is the year you're going to go broke. This is the year you're going to lose your job. This is the year we're going to be in a war. This is the year. All this stuff on the news. And yet, the very words that God give, we ignore. The very words that bring you light, and they bring you life, because the word is a light unto your path. It's a guide to your feet. And then this is the direction you go. You don't go the way of the world. When you get the word, you know how to live. You know how to function. You know how to think. He's telling Jacob, you've lost your way. You've lost your home. But I'm still your house that you can make a home. When you have the foundation, you've got me showing up without invitation, showing you that I'm still at work in the earth. I still got messengers going out in the earth. Who told you that God has forsaken us? Who told you he gave up on America? Who told you he gave up on Nashville? Who told you he gave up on his kids, your kids? Who told you those lies? They are lies. Who told you that you were not blessed when God said you are blessed? That's a lie. Who told you were not favored when God said you are favored? That's a lie. And no lie is of the truth of God or the will of God or the word of God. He is trying to give you a Bethel experience where the word becomes alive to you. He didn't just see the messengers. He received the message. The messengers are angels. God stood up there and said, wait a minute, Jacob. Your daddy gave you a blessing, but sent you out of the house. Now, I'm going to confirm that blessing and show you that the place you're laying, when I give my word to you, it is your house. And it's your house perpetually. And everybody who comes through you, I'm going to bless. And I'm going to bring the answer, the Savior, Jesus, through you. And guess what? Everything they do is going to be blessed. So why do you think when we say blessed, it's a religious lift? Oh, you know, we're blessed, we are blessed. No, it's not religious. It's fact. It's immutable. You cannot change it. God does not lie. He's showing him the good things. And he's giving him the revelation that comes from him. Who is that? I think how you say it? You should know that now. You, Bruce Fiddler. So you know who you are. He was under a tree when he was called, and God gave him the revelation that I saw you when you were under the tree, and he was amazed by that. And he said, if that's amazing, he said, you shall see the Son of Man, you say an angel, the angels ascending and descending upon me. He's giving Jacob a prevision of being the way and the truth and the life. He's letting him know you're a winner. You look like a loser. Your circumstances look like wilderness circumstances. You got a rock for a pillow, and you sad about it. But if I told you that the very ground that you were standing on was yours, you wouldn't be sad at all. And if I told you I'd be with you, I will keep you from your enemies, and I'll make sure that you are blessed, you wouldn't be sad one moment. You'll be marching in happiness. It's a good place. You are not in a bad place. You're in a good place. Once you receive the revelation of the word that was spoken of your life before you got here, when you were in your mother's womb, when you came out, it's been confirmed by the gifts that you have within you. It's being confirmed even now. You have purpose. You have meaning. Just get the right focus on what God has said, and it will turn from a bad place to a good place. Says, and Jacob, what verse am I on? 16. And Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place. And I did not know it. He said the Lord was in the place and he didn't know it, because when the word is coming forth, the word of the Lord is attached to his word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Stop thinking that somehow that it could be the word of God going forth and there's still no presence of God. There's still no awareness of God. We're not aware that when we're in this kind of place that God is speaking to us, it's very personal. See, I'm speaking to you a word, but God, the Holy Spirit, is revealing an application to you. And he was afraid and said, how awesome or how dreadful is this place? Wait a minute. If all of this is real and the word God just spoke over me is real, then this is too wonderful to be thinking about. That means I just thought I was a loser and God just showed me where I'm a winner. Oh, my gosh. He said, and I did not know it. This is none other than the house of God and the gate of heaven. This is it. What's the house of God? Where you get a revelation of who he is, of clarity, of purpose. The only thing that can turn your bad places to good places is the clarity that comes from the word. Forget Bethel being a location. Bethel is any place where God's word comes and you receive it. That's any place. That means God's house is your home if you decide to live with God continuously. Well, what is living God? Living in communion with God. The Bible says praying without ceasing, constantly talking to him, and he's constantly talking back to you. He's trying to get you into this place that's a true God place. Do you know there's no safe place outside of God's house? That means the moment that you're not in this conversational lifestyle with God, you are not safe. You're on somebody else's ground. You're a foreigner. You're an alien. But somehow heaven gets to invade earth, and he gets to hallow out space that belongs to you and me. And that's home. He gives us home right here on earth. Otherwise, you're an alien. Otherwise, you're a stranger. Otherwise, you're a sojourner. There's a day coming when he's going to ratify it all and fix it all. Final point of resting place. Verse 18. So surely in the morning, Jacob took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up for a pillar, poured oil on the top of it. He took his problem and turned it into a solution. He sanctified the place. He memorialized the place. He called the name of the place Bethel. This is God's house. But the name of the city was Luz at first. Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and he will keep me in my way that I go, he will give me bread to eat and clothes to wear so that I'm coming again to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God, and this stone which I have set up for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all he gives me, I will give him a full tenth. Jacob actually had some troubles after he learned where the resting place was. He had a revelation in the good place, and he got a revelation of the resting place. But to actually receive the resting place, you got to rest in it or stay in it. You got to stay in that place I just told you, where God is not somebody you visit in the morning and you dismiss for the rest of the day. God is not somebody you visit on Sunday and then you dismiss for the rest of the week. He didn't take that resting place with him. In fact, Jacob went in the next 21 years, he tried to do everything in his own strength. And you know what's funny? He still got the will of God, but he got it the hard way. Because the word doesn't change. The word over Jacob's life didn't change, but man, the process of getting that word to be actualized, it actually was just grueling and miserable. 7 years for one woman, 7 years for the right woman, 7 more years to work and have his wages changed 10 or 12 times. Living in an idolatrous situation. Living where one of his daughters was violated, and then the sons went and killed up everybody, and now everybody's his enemy. And God tells him, you know what God tells him to do? After all of the negative that's happened to him, God says in Genesis 35, verse 1, so God said to Jacob, get up, go to Bethel and dwell there. Get up, church, and get back to Bethel. Get back to the place the promise was given and the word was given and clarity was given, where bad places turn to good places, where heaven and earth begin to meet and the exchange begins to happen. Get back to Bethel, a resting place, a lasting place. It doesn't matter how far you come from it. It doesn't matter how much it's eluded you. Now that you get a revelation that there's a permanent place with God that you can go to that brings clarity, get back to that place. Get up. I know everybody around you wants you, but I promise to keep you till I brought you back to that place. If you even journey into that place, you'll be safe. Even if you're in trouble right now, it doesn't matter. Get back to Bethel. Get back to communion. Get back to communication. Get in his presence, and the devil can't get you. Why? Because the Bible says in the presence of the Lord, the wicked melt like wax. So walk in the presence. Live in the presence. Live in the goodness of God. And when you live like this, you'll have results that are unspeakable. Stand to your feet.